Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Calling All Leaders and Healers with your host, Barbara White. Barbara White is a gifted intuitive, holistic therapist, and spiritual teacher. She is the creator of the self-acceptance process and has a master's in transpersonal psychology and eco-psychology, diploma of homeopathy, and is a published author. Called the midwife to the soul, Barbara has ignited hundreds into knowing their inherent worth and facilitated the birth of their innate gifts. Barbara is the owner of Accepted As I Am Center, certified in advanced auricular medicine, Shambhala Master, Reiki Master, Qigong Practitioner, and is a black belt in Isshirin Karate. Her books, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful and Self-Acceptance Process and Magnificent You, are available on Amazon. Barbara's drive and passion to teach comes from knowing that if someone is willing to look within and grow, they can be a healer and leaders to others. So without further ado, I give you your wonderful host, Barbara White.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to Calling All Leaders and Healers. And this format is acknowledging that when you love yourself or you have the courage to look within and realize you have it already, that your beauty, your joy, your love, the you that is truly you, that is never born and never dies, your eternal face that is waiting for your discovery is already programmed in. It's already there. And that is a radical notion. When you begin to loving yourself, and even though the ego is always suspicious at best and vicious at worst, you know, quote from the Course in Miracles. You're going to hear me saying a lot of quotes from the Course in Miracles today because I've been a student of the Course in Miracles for about 25 years, but I've been returning back to it and its brilliance. And so, anyways, when you go to love yourself, it's so radical. And then at some point you realize that it's not about loving yourself, but that you are love. That love wants to be expressed through and as and in you. For instance, the communion happens until it just is. The loving yourself happens until you realize you are love. And that anything you hold back, the love, the beauty, the joy, the forgiveness, the leader and healer that you are, when you hold back that beneficial presence within your being, that's ultimately the greatest pain. And that's really where all pain comes from, is holding that back, holding back your true self, holding back the love, the forgiveness, the joy, the beauty, the prosperity that's already there within you, already programmed in within you. So I'm going to talk a little bit and give a processes for inspiration or a tuning fork for realizing that beauty, that love, that you that's truly you. And then I'm going to bring on Michael Mallon of Superhero Training Academy. And I am really grateful, excited, happy to have my friend Michael Mallon on. His work is just awesome, and I'll say more about it later. And the work he does with kids is phenomenal. It's really applicable to kids and adults because it is really great stuff. And what he's doing in Detroit, and what the programs he's written. So in a minute, and looking forward to that conversation with him and all the goodness that will be born out of it. So realizing that we already have it, realizing that there's really nothing out there, that you are enough, that I am enough. In fact, you know, I was thinking about how we're constantly auditioning each other. Did you ever notice that? Whether it be especially in romance. So I have my book, Finding the One, coming up, but this auditioning in romance of, you know, are you enough for me, or auditioning in life. And rather than holding space for someone to be brilliant and gorgeous and sexy, that's really when the alchemy begins. That's when joy really happens. And that's really what it means, in my feeling, of what it means to be a leader, is that you really hold space for someone's magnificence. You hold space for their true self. And that when we do that, it's the ego will convince us that that's going to, you see the good in somebody, somehow you're going to be taken advantage of, or you're going to be hurt. But never, ever, ever, ever forget that what you focus on, you get. What you focus on, you get. I remember a student a couple years ago. She lived She had grown up in a poverty area and then was really working in a field in correction, law correction, where she had to constantly monitor people for where kind of profile them, if you will, so that she could keep herself safe. But she didn't know the difference between her intentionality and discernment versus judgment. And what I mean by that is she began to see that as she was focusing on these things, it created anxiety in her. And remember that any thought or feeling that creates anxiety in us is not true. The mind doesn't like to hear that. You know, the mind thinks it's so clever. My mind thinks it's clever. Your mind thinks it's clever. But if you have an insight and you think it's an insight and it doesn't give you a sense of surrender or a yielding to the enoughness within you, the wholeness within you, or another person, then it really wasn't an insight. It was just a trick by your ego, the mind separate from God. So this student, she began to realize that her inner peace was powerful, that she could see what was going on with these people, but not interact with it, hold a vision of their wholeness. And that as she did that, the people that she was arresting, the people she was working with, it became a totally different interaction. And she was one of the many, highlights for me of really understanding how powerful peace is, how powerful our inner peace is and what we focus on. And so she began to understand as well the difference between judgment and discernment. That discernment, of course, is you don't put your hand into a hot fire or you discern that person. Maybe they don't know something and you have some wisdom to give to them or somebody knows something you don't know, right? Because everybody around us is God. You are God. I am God. Ye are gods, yes? So I love what Marianne Williamson said the other day, that we're all gods in drag. We're all gods in drag. But as she realized that she held that vision, that enoughness, for the people that she was having to question or arrest, that she had a completely different interaction. She actually had somebody that she arrested that thanked her for the interaction. And her words hadn't changed so much, and her way of saying what she said hadn't changed so much. But the way that she interacted with people, she did internally the namaste, the love in her bowed to the love in that other person. And so understanding that we are all here to be leaders and healers. And if you don't, I find as I've been holding the name of the vision of people knowing their leaders and healers, I found some people don't like the word healer. So if that word doesn't resonate with you, then instrument of peace or a person that powerfully says, God, use me. Because we realize true power when we know who we are, right? We know who we are and why we're there. That's true power. True power is also when we fall to our knees. True power is when we realize that we are powerless. And that when we realize that meaning powerless and that the notion of the separate self, my personality, is separate, that's powerless, that I can't do anything really on my own in that way, that I am just one wave in the ocean. And if I think I'm just that one wave, of course I'm going to be terrified of the other waves. So seeing where people, when they look within and they begin to realize, love themselves and use that as a doorway to knowing they are love, and then allow that love to express through them, giving full permission to all parts of themselves, they became leaders and healers. They became unified with that ocean. So as I was teaching people self-acceptance over the years, I began to see they just naturally became a beneficial presence. They naturally became a leader and a healer, which is what birthed the name of this show, as well as the Wednesday night gatherings here at Accepted as I Am, every second and fourth Wednesday. And so knowing that you have that power, that it's not a power of you, it's a power that already is you, it's already there, that you already have everything because you are everything. And that radical availability to listening to that impulse of your soul, of life in the moment. So this story I posted on Facebook seemed to really touch people, so I'm going to share it. And I've actually had, interestingly enough, about four times in my life something like this has happened, or I co-created, or God brought it to me, all the same thing. But I was running out on a trail, and I was rocking out, and I was feeling the vibrancy of life. I was feeling, I felt the lake as me, and I felt the trees as me, and thankfully, this is not an uncommon thing for me when I'm running or when I'm meditating. And sure, I have my moments of separation, absolutely. I'm not special. But it was a moment of deep connection. And then all of a sudden, God said to me, take your earbuds out. And I did. And in that moment, I realized I was standing between two men charging at each other, screaming, an older man and a younger man. The best way to describe it, I didn't say it like this on Facebook because wouldn't have made sense, but it makes sense as you're listening. It was just like a boom. It was a boom that my heart, I just put my arms out in each direction like I was directing traffic, and I said, choose peace. And they both went silent. Both men went boom. And then I pointed at one and I said, you have it in you to be peaceful. You can do it. You have it in you. And then I looked at the other one, I pointed at him and looked him in the eyes and said, you have it in you to be peaceful. And then, as a miracle, I mean, because miracles are every day. Miracles are just being aligned with your true self and knowing who you are and listening to that impulse. We do that. Miracles are every day. Miracles do happen. They stopped. They walked away. And they were fighting over a dog being off a leash. And then the trail runs along the lake, and I was running, and I was like, I really was listening. Did that just happen? That I couldn't have planned that. Like, you know, all the things in our life that, knowing that the universe is already programmed for our happiness, we really can't plan those things. It's just our daily yielding and surrendering to our true selves and to the self and all beings, and then holding space for others for their brilliance and really showing up in our own peace. Like, It's you know, the good's always in front of us. The opportunity is always, always right in front of us. But the ego says it just can't be that simple, right? Can't be that simple. But it is. And it's the moments that we don't show up. I know there's many times I haven't showed up and I thought my good was not in front of me or that the opportunity was not in front of me. So anyways, I'm running on that trail and then running back. God said to me, or Spirit said to me, you know, you're going to have to talk to that older man again. So make sure you're grounded. Make sure you stay present and really show up. I'm like, okay. So I see him, and sure enough, he kind of walked. You know, you can tell where somebody's kind of going from the other side of the trail wanting to talk to you. So I took my earbuds out again, and he says, look at these 26 stitches on my hand. Look at this. That guy with a dog off his leash, it's like shooting a gun in the air. And then I looked him in the eyes and I said, I hear you and your pain is real. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And again, he melted. And I'll have to thank my training in nonviolent communication for that, because I realized at some point in nonviolent communication that when you empathize with someone, that's all people need, is they need to hear that their feelings and their needs were heard. And even in the most violent situations, that has a potential to defuse it. And then then he walked away. And then somebody posted on Facebook of how could we empathize like that with what's happening in the Middle East, and realizing our peace is not passive. That we energetically are tuning forks, and if we can empathize and say, what are they feeling? What are they needing? That empathy, that compassion, not only attunes them to greater peace and greater alignment, but, of course, us, right? It attunes us as well to be able to be more focused on peace, more focused on joy, more focused on prosperity. Because you get what you focus on, right? That we're in this beautiful banquet of life, and we're constantly standing at the buffet, and we're saying, I don't want this, and I don't want that, and I don't want this, and I don't want that, and I don't want this. And I don't want that, I certainly don't want that. And we not only tell people what we don't want, we complain about it, and then we wonder why we get that in our world. So knowing that you are a healer and a leader, and I was going to do a meditative process, but I realized it's already about 10:15, and I want to lean towards the conversation with Michael Mallon, the Superhero Training Academy. And so if it flows, well, if we have time at the end, I'll do a meditation on cultivating inner peace or allowing or surrendering to inner peace. You know, the qualities of your soul, you can't will them to happen, right? You just have to yield to them. You open to them. You can't will peace inside of you. It's already there within you. You can't will happiness. It's already there. So anyways, on another tangent. So I want to lean towards the conversation with Michael Mallon, and I'm going to read the introduction that is given to me here, but I also just want to talk about him a bit. So Michael Mallon, his superhero name is Laughing Moon, and it's one who reflects the wonder and possibility. And, you know, he just does that. He has an ability, like the think about the moon and how the sun, it reflects the sun, and it's laughing, and he has the ability to reflect people's brilliance. It is so amazing is the best word I can come up with right now. He is a community organizer, an educator, and the founder of Superhero Training Academy. He currently works on the west side of Detroit, empowering the creative genius of children to serve their communities. He is dedicated to building a place-based model of a neighborhood campus and a self-sustaining village. He also loves to dance fantastic, write poetry, and walk on frozen rivers. He has yet to build a teleportation device. Come on, Michael, build a teleportation device. But, Michael he does his inner work. And, like, that's one of the highest compliments I can give to people. Like, when I see they do their inner work, they walk their walk, they are people that really lead in their living example. And those are all the people that I'm inviting on the show, and he is of no exception. Like, he is in that he walks in his living example. The way he can connect with people that him and I went to a women's prison, and I was learning so much from him and how he can connect with people and remind them of their brilliance and an ability to, he uses laughter in a way that just boggles my mind. It teaches me so much of how he will connect with somebody through laughter and really invite them into their own genius, invite them into that connection, that knowing that they are the ocean. And it's interesting to me how when I've seen him connect with children, it's the same way he connects with adults, because that same genius he connects in that. I'm having trouble putting the word. Just trust me, it's awesome. And so without further ado, using Courtney's words earlier, so I like that, I'd like to bring on Michael Mallon. And so if we could do that, that would be wonderful.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. How is your morning flowing?
Thanks for having me. It's great. It's good. I'm delighted. I actually had a dream last night that I overslept and missed the interview, so I'm just happy to be right on time and right here with you.
Great. And, you know, I just want to say, why haven't you built that teleportation device? Come on now.
You know what I did? I put a mirror in one of the rooms in our ceiling, so you can look up and see through the window. That's the closest I've got so far.
So, Michael, can you let people that are listening, and I'd love to hear the story of what inspired you into this work? What was your calling?
It was getting in touch with who I was, my most intuitive state as a kid, and in that place of creative play, where it kind of dissolves all the power structures and imagination is left free to run. It was getting back in touch with that. And when I was in high school, I made a simple choice. I was going to University of Detroit Jesuit High School, and we had a year where we'd go do community service. And I was put in a homeless shelter with children. And I made a simple choice just to value and honor children. And that is oriented my life in every circumstance, just holding that value so high. And through that, children have really taught me how to be more creative and be more joyful and get back into that childlike state of wonder and possibility that I really try to live out.
I love how you say that. You made a choice that you created your life, or you modeled your life around a value system. It reminds me of how, like, I'll say that if you have an intent or a focus and or a vision, that your life will shape around that. And you remember the moment that you made that intention or that choice.
Pedro Arrupe's got that poem where it says, "What you fall in love with will decide everything." And it's true. It really is true. And prepare to be amazed, because you can't predict where you'll get led if you really stay true to your values.
Say that again. What you fall in love with will...
will decide everything.
Will decide everything. That's Pedro who?
Pedro Arrupe. And it's part of a longer poem.
So you just made that decision and you fell in love with being able to awaken children's potential creative genius, and that was just the beginning of the story for you. And I know you've done, and I didn't even touch on that, the amazing work that I've seen you do in the community out in Brightmoor. But along that journey, what did you, and so we're talking like 20, 25, no, like 30 years, right? This is like 30 years you've been walking the path to do this. What do you feel is like the, from that 30 years of falling in love with being able to usher the creative genius within children and allow them to serve their communities, what has become your understanding of what a leader is?
I love the story of Gandhi, where I think the prerequisite of a leader is encompassed in this, where Gandhi's in his ashram and a man comes in. He says, "Gandhi, how do I get off sugar?" And Gandhi says, "Come back in 2 weeks." So the man leaves and comes back in 2 weeks, and Gandhi then speaks to him, and finally the man says, "Well, what is it? Why did I have to go for 2 weeks?" And Gandhi says, "Because I had to get off sugar myself." And I think if anybody's trying to be a leader, the prerequisite is that you practice whatever you're talking about. And I learned a lot from my father, whose favorite, he's a great leader in my life, and his favorite basketball player was Magic Johnson, who played for the Los Angeles Lakers. And the best thing that Magic Johnson was great at was passing. And what he did in a really joyful way was activate others into leadership. And he realized that everyone has something to give. And the job of the leader is to recognize how people are gifted and give them opportunities to contribute. So the leader really...
I love
really,
that. Magic Johnson,
yeah.
What he was passing. Wow. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the leader does, is it passes opportunities in the first sense, you know, and then we get to know each other in a way where we're all leaders, and a real productive community comes alive in this way. And then risk-taking becomes more easeful, support becomes natural, and, you know, failures aren't seen as failures, but they're really seen as learning opportunities. But we only realize our potential if we're able to practice our potential.
Practice our potential. Yeah, that if we don't get to experience or taste that potential, then it doesn't. It becomes we only can keep what we give away. So if we're not getting to, like, to your words, practice our potential, then we're not really. It doesn't become tangible for us.
Yeah, and you know, Barbara, I've lived in a number of places on the Indian Reservation and here in Detroit, which are impoverished areas, and one of the most challenging things is, you know, somebody might come as thinking of leadership and just help others. But really, giving people an opportunity to contribute creates a community of leaders, or what I would call a heroic culture. And Motown Music knew this. In Motown Music, everybody was allowed to, you know, put songs in that they wrote. So the janitor was writing things, you know, the secretary was writing things. Jim Henson knew this with the Muppets. He really encouraged kind of one-upmanship, not in a competitive way, but really in a free, exploratory way, where people are allowed to dream, they're allowed to contribute, they're allowed to make mistakes. And in this way, we get to know each other's wildest dreams, and we get to just be in relationship around taking risks together, being creative. And I think all that being said is that the leader has these other abilities too, where, and sometimes the collective can hold this, but the leader is really tuned in to what's the most important. And the leader can unite others in direction. So just the value system that you mentioned, and, you know, what I talk about with the simple choice I made, is I think the leader is really holding the highest quality, or, you know, the deepest experience for all, and trying to reorient us back to that real spiritual plane.
And I've seen you create that, where that you've given people an opportunity to contribute, and that they get to experience their potential, and that they're not just helping others, but getting to take the risks of that creation. What do you feel is the ingredients that, you know, and I mean, part of me feels like it's just your consciousness, that I feel like every business, every organization is the shadow of the consciousness of the person there. And with that said, I want to hear, I'm answering my own question. What a great interviewer I am.
Well, Barbara, that's exactly what I was going to say. Just kidding. What are the ingredients?
What are they, like, yeah, because I've seen you do that with a group of people. I've seen you do that with our tribe of friends. I've seen you do that with kids. I saw you do that with the women at the prison. What are the ingredients to that, to be able to give people an opportunity to contribute?
A simple one that I learned as a teacher was just the quality of presence. And I learned this really by talking to a large group. Instead of talking to the group, you really look people in the eyes and you connect with each individual person, you know, for a few seconds. And taking that a little bit deeper, it's just that presence that really believes that somebody has something to offer. Everyone has something to teach. Everyone has something to give. And the other piece of that, especially if a leader is powerful and magnetic, is this quality of humility. That, to me, I think is the greatest quality of the leader, the willingness to be vulnerable and really kind of collapse that distance of I'm a powerful leader and you all are following me, but sharing in our own imperfections and our own struggles and giving people opportunities to be in relationship with us that's mutual. And this humility, I think, also is about serving a vision of the common good. It's not about competition. It's not about being better than others. It's about getting a win all the way around. I think I found as a white male that I really have to practice this more and more, just and continue to provide space for other people to show up that are different than me.
And so the quality of presence, and then the ability to embrace the vulnerability, so that distance, and you're in that place of power with versus power over. And I heard the last bit was that you have that discernment that, hey, I am a male-bodied white person, and I have to be aware of that, and it's a presence that I have to bring a sense of vulnerability even more because of the assumptions that are made in the culture around that.
Yeah, and I think I'm kind of programmed to take action or to, I got a vision for that. And that, you know, I'm a creative person, but sometimes just, you know, I think a leader is one who really listens and incorporates feedback and develops a co-creation. And I think you mentioned it too before, like there's, in any kind of work, there's always going to be hard moments. And if we take ourselves too seriously, or if we really are available to accepting the challenges that this world has and the violence and the fear, we have to be able to laugh. We have to be able to not take ourselves so seriously to be able to reset our mind so that we can think creative again and maintain our own well-being.
Mm.
And I've realized through, you know, 3 eras of the Superhero Training Academy that the process of regrowth isn't always pretty. It's very much a force that takes things away or destroys things to recreate. And I think if identity is wrapped up in that, if ego is attached to that, it just creates a lot of suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the don't take ourselves too seriously, how that is such a component in when I'm teaching self-love or self-acceptance. Of, I say, don't be overly serious. Invite a curiosity into your own self-love, into your own growth process. And that curiosity or that don't take ourselves so serious so that we're gentle with all our flaws and we're compassionate with them and we're able to, to your words, laugh at them so that we can let that something more be expressed through us and be used by God to help others. And that belief that as a leader you have to be perfect, or to help others you got to be perfect. You know, I've never seen anybody really from their core of their heart say, God, use me, and God say, no, sorry, nope, not gonna, nope, not you. You don't, you know, you didn't get up.
yeah. And a lot of our culture is set up that way, where we're, you know, we get graded, or we're, you know, we get a lot of messages that we might not be good enough. And just to counter that is, sometimes I put a little stuffed animal on top of a door, and then I forget about it, and I open the door, and the animal will fall on my head, and it's just a good reminder to lighten up.
Oh, that is so great. God, I love you. That's awesome. So with switching gears, I just want people to taste a bit or feel a bit the amazing process that you do in helping children and adults find their superhero name. And really, what is the superhero name and why that isn't so important? And just could, if you could speak a little bit on that, I would love that.
Yeah, sure. You know, just in relation to the being a leader, being a healer, I think healing happens when there's a space that's created for quality of love to exist that opens up a new possibility. And the intention and the focus on a real sacred state of being, our most imaginative, our most courageous, our best self, whatever that is, in wild imagination, being able to enter into that and approach life from that point, our life becomes different from that angle. We have different solutions. We have a different relationship with ourselves, a different relationship with others. And with Superhero Training Academy, we do it in a really playful way with kids. We take the archetype of the hero, and I just invite kids to recreate themselves through different images that speak to them, looking for mirrors of inspiration. And that could be an animal, could be an element, an archetype. And so then kids really kind of take on a new inspired self, and they become, a child who is maybe aggressive toward others, then becomes Iron Tornado and realizes he has the gift to protect others that are smaller. Or the shy 9-year-old girl who's doodling in her notebook becomes the imaginative Aurora artist and then becomes a teacher and teaches others how to do creative art. And it's not just limited to self-reflection. It's really a practice of knowing oneself in a way that becomes so exciting, it overflows and it's active in giving back to the world, giving that gift, you know, giving our unique medicine out into others. And, you know, we do some shadow work with kids, and then we let them face supervillains, which are representations of their own internal challenges, and we do that through nonviolence. In contrast to the contemporary superheroes that fight, we teach love at all costs, at every angle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always great because it's really about surprising ourselves with what we're becoming. It's about a growth mindset, and it's about stepping into the unknown. And that's a lot easier to do when we're in a playful state and when we're all together with the quality of community and joy and laughter present. Mm-hmm. And so we actually dress up in our superhero suits and, you know, launch out into the world.
When I first started volunteering with you and dressing up and watching how that creates the vulnerability that unites that playful state that gives a space for people to know their own magnificence and surprise themselves with what they're becoming, in your words, definitely a practice for the volunteer person to not take themselves so darn seriously.
Yeah, right. You just can't with mismatched socks and a funny wig or a cape or whatever you got going on.
So the Superhero Training Academy. What's it? Just if someone's listening and they want to check it out while they're hearing us, what's the website for that?
The website is superherotraining.org.
Superherotraining.org. Okay. And what opportunities or what? Where do you want to see superhero training? Are you seeing it staying in the Brightmoor community, or are you wanting to? If someone's listening to this and they happen to know someone that is aligned with something that is being called in your vision, where do you see superhero training going in the next year?
Well, I mean, in the true spirit of the leader, in the true spirit of the hero, we are serving the needs and the requests of people who... So we're open in that sense. In another way, it's really focused on this creating a new system of education, a real experiential model for kids, place-based and long-term sustainable change. So trying our best here on the west side of Detroit in a really innovative neighborhood. And there's a lot of ways to connect. You can get involved behind the scenes. You can jump into action with kids. We're building a mythical adventure playground this summer next to our heart quarters. That we've got a spot right here in Brightmoor, and we're opening a summer academy, which will include our neighborhood campus, but also bigger adventures out where we'll go out into other places around. Probably
so if someone
Michigan
does want to get
here.
Involved or they have a kids group or a school that they want to talk to you about, you're available to talk to those people?
Totally. We're improvisers, so we can work with schools, we can work with churches. We've developed mentorship programs with youth one-on-one. We've developed family programs if you want to go through with a family and do that.
I didn't know that you did family programs. Okay, because I've seen you, of course, as you know, I've seen you do your magic, these programs in schools. I've seen you do it in churches and But family programs, it's interesting you say that, because I actually had a family that asked me that, and I'm like, huh, I wonder. And, yeah, so thank you for letting me know about that. So the work that's happening, or the community organization that's happening in Brightmoor, can you speak on that, of the what, like, when people hear Heart Quarters, or like, they may not know what that is. So what is Heart Quarters?
So we have a two-story house. It's an intentional living community and a community center for youth and families. And then we've got vacant land around us to really start creating something amazing. Our neighborhood's incredible place that's experimenting with a lot of new models to some of our global challenges. Thing, you know, we've created, we have a community kitchen now for the neighborhood to use. We have a person who took a home and turned it into a tea house right inside the neighborhood. So there's a lot of neat stuff going around, and the possibility for us to strengthen as a self-sustaining village really exists here with the land and the creativity of the people.
And there's been a since the tea house, since your presence, since the gardens there, there's been a shift in the community in the last year and a half. That I remember you speaking on, I think it was last summer, and some of the people, of how they've seen a greater unity, a greater connection in that area. Is that true?
I mean, not true,
but can you talk about that a bit, like how you've seen this action or this work affect the community?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's best if I just speak for myself and my own journey. And
okay.
Not the whole community, but I certainly, being able to walk outside my door and walk to other people's houses and see people out and participating, getting outside, teaming up to find solutions to things like safety or food justice and living and reducing our ecological footprint. These kind of challenges, people are all... I experience a lot of connection with people that are on the edge of experimenting with some of these things. And that's a really exciting thing, because I think our world is really faces a lot of challenges, and the solutions really, in large part, need to come in a local level.
Yes. Yeah. So what would you say, Michael, to someone who's listening and says, well, that's really great that Michael's done that, and it's really great, you know, I hear these other people doing things, but I can't do anything. I don't have, I can't do anything, and it doesn't matter. What would you say to somebody who's thinking those thoughts right now?
I've got a top 10 list. Can I give you it?
Oh, that would be great.
Okay, some are a little practical. Others take some reflection. Number one is, I just learned this, it takes 20 seconds to make a decision. So... you can jumpstart that by, if you want to go running, put your shoes next to your bed before you go to sleep. If you want to write thank you notes, put your thank you notes out on the table before you go to bed. And that 20 seconds will make all the difference. Number two, spend time with people that inspire you. Just get around people that have a good presence that you admire, and they'll light you up. Number three is a quote. It's from Howard Thurman. Says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is more people who've come alive. And my spiritual director would say it, go back to the places where you find life, and then and talk to God at those places, and then you'll get led. Number four is ask yourself the question, what breaks your heart? That'll lead you to a place where you can make an impact and realize that the joy of making a difference. Number five, eliminate distractions. It's tempting these to experience the world through a computer or a television set from our couch. And we live in a world that is rampant with 24/7 stores and news. So just to take a day off and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Number six is the practice of karmic yoga or selfless service, just to get out and with no agenda, no idea, just go out and serve and just see where you get led.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, risk sharing your wildest dream. And we all have it. And it gets buried often, and it's precious, so it takes some courage to be vulnerable with it, especially if we've spent years and years in our undercover hobby room just drawing art or playing music or whatever it is. But get a group of friends together and just risk sharing it and see what happens. But you'll be lighted up. Number eight is find a support group of cheerleaders, who's your dream team, you know, 3-4 people who you can call upon, because the journey of trying to be active in the world often leads to heartbreak and disappointment, so having those people is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, if none of that stuff works, just go do something weird, do something different, shake somebody's hand different, like walk backwards. Anything to switch up and break up your normal habitual thinking. Could be such a simple, tiny thing. And just do something different. And number 10 is a big one. If none of that stuff works, the ultimate motivator is that you're going to die someday. And take some time to think about that. And I'm sure life will become a little more precious. And you'll really want to connect with others and at least say thank you and be grateful for the gifts that people have given you.
Mm.
And I give all those like examples just to lead someone to the felt sense of what it's like to be feeling alive. And that's the place that I think is the antidote to apathy, is to feel alive and to live this life, this one precious life.
All right, so that is such a powerful, amazing list. Do you have that on your website, or do you have that, if people wanted to access that, or I'd be willing to, I don't know, it's just such a powerful list. I want to write it up and I know you don't care about this, but put the Superhero Training Academy name and everything and put it on Facebook or put it on, and we could talk about that off the show if you'd like, but I just feel like that's such a, I mean, that list is, it could be a book. It could be, it's people, if they just took each one of what you said and spent a day with it, which I think is a practice I'm actually going to do. It just seems so potent to take each one, spend a day with it, and if I'm drawing 2 days with it, and then go down the list over a period of 10 days. I mean, it just gets me so excited. Imagine if somebody did that. They heard that list and did that practice for 10 days. Where they would be in 10 days? That's just
wow, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun. I love that idea because it leads to experience. You know, hearing it or reading it is one thing, but actually practicing it and maybe giving a chance for people to share their experience. That sounds great. Yeah, and I'm totally open to whatever. I just have it written in a notebook. It was just a reflection before the show. So.
just some genius that came out of you right before the show. I love it. Well, thank you for taking the risk of expressing and contributing and letting that be born through you. And whatever comes of it, I know it's recorded on the show, so somebody can always rewind it. So if you want to hear that again, you can always rewind it and listen to it as well. Just take your mouse and scroll back a couple minutes and hear it, Michael's list again. Oh, that's so. And now, I guess it feels like we're getting towards the end of our conversation here. Is there anything else that you feel that you'd like to share that we didn't touch on?
You know, I thought about reading a poem that Oriah Mountain Dreamer wrote. That feel like a good way to close?
That would be wonderful.
Okay. All right. And again, thanks Barbara and the Mind, Body, Spirit community for just having me on, giving me an opportunity to speak. I appreciate it. It's nice to reflect on these important things.
And so if someone wants to contact you, the best way is to go onto the website, superhairtraining.org?
Yeah, that's good. Or you can call me at 248-921-6461.
248-921-6461?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Okay. Thanks again, Barbara. And we'll close with The Invitation by Araya Mountain Dreamer. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful. Be realistic. Remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it was not pretty every day. If you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes! It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else fails away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself, and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments.
Thank you so much for that. That is, thank you, Michael Mellon, Superhero Training Academy. That poem was Araya Mountain Dreamer, you said?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Wow. And
yeah.
That's all I can say is wow.
Hey. Well, thanks again for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. In the superhero way, we always say, go get them. So go get them to everybody listening. And thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Have a wonderful week, wonderful day.
You too, Barbara.
Bye. So just staying on the line a little bit longer, everyone, and we just have a few minutes here, and allowing that amazing poem that Michael spoke to be felt in your muscles, felt in your bones, felt in your body. And remembering that list that he gave of how putting into practice or giving permission to your fullness, your wholeness that wants to be born as you. That I love when Michael said that it's not always about self-reflection, but about putting into practice of knowing oneself, of being one's own medicine. And there was just so much that I would love to reflect on of what he said, but I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to to take whatever was said in a poem or what Michael said and ponder on it a bit, contemplate on it a bit as we enter into this breathing practice together to finish up today. As well as I would invite you to what is one thing that you can do today to and remembering that list, it is sharing your gift with another or doing something different, or I can't remember everything on the list, but if there was something on there that really struck you when he was reading it, or that 20 seconds to make a decision and to make a decision. Let's go ahead and do that one. Let's focus on that one together. That in this 2-3 minutes that we're going to drop into meditation and bring that witnessing mind, what are you going to decide to do to bring forth your light, your love, that the you that wants to be expressed, that you that wants to come forward, that I need you, Michael needs you, your community needs you. God is not complete without your expression. That just like every cell in the body has a function and a purpose, you are a cell in the body of God. You have a purpose, that you matter, that you are not only more than enough, that it's in you, it's already within you. And so what is pivotal on that is your free will choice. And as I like to say over the years, that darn free will. But also that wonderful free will, that in your willingness, in that 20 seconds, to do something today, whether it's write a poem, it's putting your running shoes by your bed tonight, or it's doing something different today, it's doing something playful, it's reaching out to someone, even though you're afraid they're going to think you're a weirdo, by being kind to them. Being a weirdo for love, I think that was one of his. This is just go out and do something weird, or do something a little crazy that you wouldn't normally do. So let's go ahead and we'll spend some time breathing together, knowing that that eternity is born with knowing there is no time and space. The time and space is in duality, and that as you breathe, you're bringing eternity into time, into your body, into your knowing. And so, go ahead and become aware of your breath and your body. Invite that willingness. A willingness to give permission to all these parts of yourself that want to be expressed. And just be in that willingness right now. Don't go into strategy. Don't go into how. Just that willingness to be like what Michael Mellon said with Magic Johnson, to pass the ball to somebody. To teach in your living example, like with Gandhi and getting off of sugar. To bring forth a greater quality of presence. Beautiful heart, be seen. That power of vulnerability. So you let somebody else know that they matter. Be in that willingness. Don't worry about how, just be in that willingness for another moment and breathe. And again, we're not worried about strategy or how. Just ask the question, what would it feel like in this moment to be willing to serve the vision of the common good? What would it feel like? And again, what would it feel like? Not how, not when, not where. What would it feel like to be open to possibility? For your heart, for in that healing of what Michael talked about, a space for a quality of love that opens up possibility. Invite that quality love in this moment. What would it feel like to open to possibility? Wonderful, everyone. And then now let's dive into that 20 seconds of what decision are you going to make? What action can you take today, small or big? Real or symbolic, meaning maybe you look yourself in the eyes and you say, I love you, or maybe you make that phone call, or you write that poem, or you just look for it today. So you make that decision to bring this energy, this feeling into form. Make that decision now. You have that choice. You have it in you to do it. Make that choice. Breathe. Beautiful. Knowing that you just anchored in an agreement with yourself, you just strengthened your structures to be miracle ready, and that whether you thought of something specifically, but if you didn't, that's all right. It will show up. Be willing to see it today. Be willing to act from that impulse of love. Be willing to be a leader, that presence of love, that presence of possibility. Be willing to see that today, and it will take form. It will take form as you and as your life. Thank you so much for spending this time and really allowing yourself an opportunity to realize more of yourself, to connect with someone like Michael Mallon. Please go to superherotraining, .org. There's some really great pictures and videos on there. It will bring a smile to your face. And the quote I'm just is coming to mind that Michael Mallon said of Howard Thurman, don't ask what the world needs, ask what will bring you alive. And so be guided by that. Be guided by this conversation today. And I hope to see some of you that are listening at the Calling All Leaders and Healers, if you're local, Calling All Leaders and Healers gathering this Wednesday. I have Mary Beth, and I'm going to mispronounce your last name, Mary. I'm sorry, Rumbash. She's written books about angels and intuition, and she holds an energy or presence that angels are real, and she has some amazing stories. She's also going to guide us in how to access our intuition, and I'm really looking forward to that. Got to sit with her the other day. I just really was uplifted by her presence and who she is. She's going to come and speak on this coming Wednesday. I'm going to be teaching and guiding people in processes of being miracle ready. You got it. Being miracle ready to really ground in and open up those structures so that we can be available to the good that wants to be born in, as, and through you, through me. And so that is this Wednesday, and it's $15 to $20, and that money actually goes to the amazing programs that Michael Mallon's doing out in Detroit. Next month, I will have another amazing guest. I'm still building my understanding of this, not understanding of this format, but what am I trying to say? I don't have a guest for next month, but I know it's going to be amazing because I have like three people that are just phenomenal people. So I just got to hear back from who's going to be the guest, and you can go on to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and see who that is for next month, as well as I'll post it on Facebook. And if you haven't already, go ahead and friend me on Facebook, Barbara White. It's six letters, B-A-R-B-R-A, like Barbara Streisand. And you can go to Barbara White and Facebook me. I love to put out posts and have conversations with you and interact. And if you have any questions, you can message me on Facebook. You can also call me at 734-455-1438. And my email is weephealing@sbcglobal.net. I'm using an old email. And website, acceptedasiam.com. I also have coming up in March, where I'm going to be at two different fairs. I'll be out in Royal Oak March 7th. If you want to come out and say hi to me, and any questions, or you just want to, maybe if you want to do a jig together, you want to dance, we can do that. The Royal Oak Health and Wellness Festival. And then I'm also going to be out at the Awakening Expo, the 17th, 18th, and 19th. I'm partnering with my friend, Dr. Craig Stoller, who was a speaker at one of the previous Calling All Leaders and Healers gatherings here every second and fourth Wednesday, and partnering with my sister, Linnea, who's opening up her self-hypnosis business. So I'm excited to collaborate with them at the Awakening Expo. I believe it's out in Detroit, and it's the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And you can go ahead and I'll post that on Facebook, as well as you can, of course, Google it, and it will come up. All right, everyone. Thank you so much to Michael Mallon, Superhero Training. Thank you, love. Thank you, God. Thank you. Just thank you for this opportunity to connect. And please share this radio show with somebody. Please let people know about the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. It's an amazing resource for people, and a lot of great shows that are hosted here. So let people know about it. Be our angel messenger, if you will. Maybe that's your action today. Let somebody know about the show and what you learned. That could they may need to hear the message through you, through your voice. So thank you so much for being you, and look forward to connecting with you. Much love to you. Take care.